We're going to be in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. We're going to read verses 12 through 21 with an emphasis on verse 17. One of the things that I have enjoyed during our time of rearrangement of our worship services because of COVID and social distancing is I've been able to get into the pulpit earlier, and I have not felt rushed to get through a sermon. This morning's message was a transcript of 3,000 words, which is 1,000 more words than I typically would put into a Sunday morning message. But things went smooth. We got out right after 12 because I get in early and I just don't feel rushed at all. So that has been a blessing. Let's pray, and then we want to read this text, and then I want to say some things about God telling us to fear not, because He hears us where we are. It is amazing. That one phrase, He heard the lad where he was. We'll talk about that tonight, and want to further encourage you to fear not from the Scriptures. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the day, the good day that You've given us. We're blessed to be together this morning, honored to open Your Word and to read and preach from the Gospel of John. Thank You for Your help there in both the preaching and the hearing of Your Word. And we pray tonight that You would help us again. Thank You for those who've returned. I pray that You would bless them tonight for their faithfulness, for their desire to hear God's Word, that You would feed them, and God, that You would allow them to hear a better message than will be preached, and they will see Your glory, and they will rejoice in who You are. Help us to understand that we as Your children are to fear not, because You are our God. And we are Your children. We are under the protective hand of Almighty God, the one who flung the planets and the stars in place, is the one who protects and provides for us. So God, help us to remember who we are in Christ, and that our relationship with God is reconciled through Jesus. And we are to fear not, for we have a great God. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Christ's sake, amen. Genesis chapter number 21, beginning in verse number 12. And God said to Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad." The lad here is Ishmael. "And because of thy bondwoman," the bondwoman here is Hagar, "in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. That's God's recorded word for us tonight, and all God's people said. It's a great text. Great text. We're looking at passages in the Bible where we find that little phrase, fear not. And it is God commanding His people not to fear, to have faith, to trust, to have confidence in God, and not to fear. And last week we saw that God told Abram at the time, who was fearing for his life because he had rescued Lot and his family and the spoils from the four kings that were in alliance, he feared for his life of the retaliation of those kings. God told him to fear not because God was his shield and that God was his exceeding great reward. God proclaimed to Abram, fear not. The reason he was not to fear is because his defender, his protector, his shield, and his defense was God himself. It wasn't that God was going to give him a shield or provide a shield. God himself was his shield. The question I have is, why would we fear if God is our shield? Because I believe that God is fully able to defend his children from every danger. He's able. Say amen. Plus, God said he was Abram's reward. Life wasn't Abram's reward. God was Abram's reward. Thus, Abram was to trust God and not to fear. So tonight, I want us to look at this passage. Genesis 21 deals with Hagar and Ishmael, and God tells Hagar in a very fearful time for her, in a very uncertain time for her, to fear not. So let me give you three reasons from the text why God was able to tell Hagar to fear not, and three reasons why Hagar could believe God when he told her to fear not. Number one, because firstly of the promise of God. Now remember, Hagar had been given to Abraham by Sarah, his wife. Sarah was barren. She could have no children. And God had promised Abram a child, a seed. And so Abraham and Sarah sort of run ahead of God, and Sarah gives to him Hagar to see if he could raise up an heir by her, since Sarah was barren. And that's exactly what happened. Abraham went unto Hagar. Hagar became pregnant, and she had a son named Ishmael. Now, that plan proved to be an unwise move on Sarah's and Abraham's part. They became impatient with God and tried to do things in their own energy of the flesh, and it just didn't turn out well. But Ishmael is Abraham's son, and Abraham is proud of his son. He's proud of Ishmael. Ishmael was a son that Abraham was able to bear in his old age. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Can you imagine that, being 86 and a father? Holy smokes. But then God intervened in Abraham's life. God caused his promise to Abraham to come to light, and Isaac was born of Sarah. And the first few verses of Genesis 21 tell us about the birth of Isaac. And then we have this conflict. We're told of an incident that led to this separation of Hagar and Ishmael from Abraham and the house. When Isaac was being weaned, Abraham threw a feast, and Ishmael, who was older, laughed at or mocked Isaac. And when Ishmael mocked Isaac, Sarah saw it and then demanded that Abraham send Ishmael and Hagar away out of the household. Now, that's something Abraham did not want to do. He was reluctant to send Hagar and Ishmael away because he had affections for both of them, especially for Ishmael, his son. And so he was reluctant to do what Sarah is asking him to do. And so God comes to Abraham and tells Abraham to do exactly what Sarah has asked him to do, to send away Ishmael and send away Hagar. But God offers a bit of hope and a bit of comfort. He says, send them away as Sarah has told you to send them away, but understand this, I, God, am going to make a nation out of Ishmael. So, if God is going to make a nation out of Ishmael, that means nothing's going to happen to Ishmael or Hagar. And so Abraham, with that confidence in God, with that faith in God's word, obeys God, sends Hagar and Ishmael away, but he doesn't send them away from God's care or God's concern. They're leaving his house, but he's placing them in the hands of God. God had promised to make Ishmael a great nation. Now, I have to admit to you tonight, I don't know why God would allow this to happen. I don't know why God would allow Hagar and Ishmael to be driven out of the home. I don't know why he would allow them to go through that and to experience that. But God doesn't often tell us his reasoning, and he certainly doesn't have to. We may be able to guess why he's doing it, and we could be right or we could be wrong. God just simply doesn't tell us very often why he's doing anything. Say amen? We just have to trust him. We have to trust him. And I don't know why things happen in my life. And I don't know why God allows things to happen in your life. I don't know what God's doing. I don't even want to give the impression that I can guess what God's doing. But the God who sees the beginning and the end and everything in the middle does all things well. And we have to trust Him. God does not say in the Bible that we will not have difficult days. He does not say that we will not have times of separations. He does not say that we won't have desert times in which our lives are turned upside down and we lose our security and we lose the surety of stability in our lives. He doesn't say that's not going to happen. But what He does promise is that He will care for us when we're going through the desert. He will care for us when we're going through these times of separations, when we are without the safety and the security that we enjoyed before. God has promised that He will care for His people. Say amen. So no matter what happens to us, no matter what crisis comes into our lives, no matter what will befall us, we do have the promises of God that He will care for us. He promises that He will not forsake us. He promises that the crisis will not affect His care of us. I remember the story of Martin Luther, who was going through some very difficult times, the reformer Martin Luther. I always say that because I quoted Martin Luther not long after I came here, and somebody caught me at the door and said, I don't agree that you're quoting Martin Luther King. And I said, I wasn't quoting Martin Luther King, I was quoting Martin Luther. There's a difference between Martin Luther, the reformer, and Martin Luther King. Say amen. Martin Luther, the reformer, was going through some very difficult times in his life and was just depressed and was just beside himself with things that are going on. And he came down to breakfast one morning and his wife was dressed in all black and had a veil over her face. And he thought he'd missed something. He thought he'd missed news of something. And he said, "Wife, what's going on? Why are you dressed in all black with a veil?" And she lifted it up and she said, "Well," she said, "by the way you're acting, I thought the Lord was dead." Say amen. A lot of times we act as if the Lord is dead. He's not dead. He's still on a throne. He has made promises to us, His people. Say amen. Somebody said there are 365 promises in the Bible. He's made promises to us. I don't know if that's right or not, but He has made a lot of promises to us, and He has to keep every single promise that He's made. So God promises to Abram that He is going to make a nation out of Ishmael. And do any of us think that God is not going to make good on His promise? Say amen. And do any of us think that God will not make good on all of His promises that He has made to us, His people? Amen? God has promised what? He will take care of. Right? And we trust Him that even in difficult, trying days in which we don't understand why they are happening to us, we still understand that we can trust and have confidence in our God. Number two. Not only are we to fear not because of the promises of God, but we are to fear not, secondly, because of the provision of God. Hagar wandered in the wilderness, the Bible says here. She wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The word wandered there means that she was lost. Now, there are theologians who say that they believe that Abraham gave her such light supplies because he wanted them to stay close and come back. But in the wilderness here, Hagar is lost. And we learn here that the water that Abraham sent with her has run out. And she understands in her lost situation, in her lack of water, she understands that the end for her and her son are certain and near. And she's lost hope. So what she does, knowing that she has no ability to correct the situation, she can't produce water out of thin air, she puts Ishmael under one of the shrubs, I'm supposing to protect him from the heat. And then she gets as far away from her son as she can so that she doesn't have to hear him crying or see him die. Now, parents, especially mothers, you understand that. You don't want to see your young child die. So she puts him under the shrub. She goes as far as she can because she doesn't want to hear him cry. She cannot bear to hear his cries or see him in the last minutes of his life. And the Bible says she then lifted up her voice and wept. Now, do we doubt that she's in a hopeless situation? Do we doubt that she is full of fear for herself and for her son? Do we doubt that she's in a crisis that she cannot correct, she can do nothing about? How would it be to be driven out of your home with no place to go, with very few provisions, no shelter, out in the middle of the desert? She made it as far as she could. She's out of supplies. And her son are going to die. She just doesn't want to see and hear him die. Then in verse number 17, we are told that God heard the cries of the lad. Now, I don't know why God says that. Why he did not hear the cries of Hagar, except maybe she wasn't crying to God. But God did hear the cries of the son. What is interesting is that she got as far away as she could so that she would not hear his cries, but she could not get him far enough away from God that he could not hear his cries. Now, if we were Pentecostal, we'd all jump up and start running right there. Aren't you glad tonight that you cannot get as far away from God as He cannot hear your cries? God hears our cries of pain, and He hears our prayers for help. Here is a young child crying out for help, and God hears him. Hagar doesn't hear him, but Hagar couldn't help him anyway. But the one that could help hears him. And the Bible says this, God heard him where he was. Isn't it good that Hagar didn't have to get him in a certain position? Didn't have to get him on top of a mountain? Didn't have to fix him up? Or God heard him where he was. Aren't you glad God hears us in the deepest of depressions? God hears us in the deepest of pains. God hears us in the deepest of our sorrows. Wherever we are, God hears us. Whatever situation we are in, God hears us. God heard the lad. Where was he? Under a bush. Cries may be muffled, but God heard him where he was. And God commissions an angel to speak to Hagar. I understand. I don't know how fast angels travel, But it looks like there wasn't time for an angel to travel from heaven to Hagar. So the angel speaks to Hagar from heaven. And you know what the angel says? Fear not. Fear not. And I'm thinking, if I was Hagar, I would say, how can I not fear? How can I not fear? But look, the angel says to her, fear not. And in the context, we see the son is perishing in the desert, needs water to survive. And after God hears his cry, Hagar has her eyes opened and she sees a well and is able to go and to get from that well and provide Ishmael a drink, allowing him to live and eventually thrive. You see, not only does God make his people promises, but even in the difficult days, even in the hard hours, even in the sorrowful times, even in difficult situations, God makes provision for his people. Apparently, the well had been there all the time. She just couldn't see it. Say amen. Maybe she couldn't see it through the tears that she was crying for her son. I don't know. But Hagar now has her eyes open so that she can notice for the first time a supply of water that God has provided for her and her son. Now, it would have been nothing for God to speak a word and that well appear. But the idea here, the truth that we need to understand is what was needed, God provided. God did not abandon them. God was watching. God was listening. And God provided for them exactly what they needed at the exact time they needed it. Say amen. You know, a lot of times God doesn't provide when we want it or when we think we need it, but he always provides when it's needed. Say amen. What do we have to do? We have to trust him. Even in a desert with no water, I have to trust that God will hear our cries and God will provide what we need. The thing about it is if the well was already there, and Hagar simply couldn't see it, the solution to their problem was already provided before they got there. Are you with me? Does not the New Testament say something like, your Father knows what you need before you even ask? You see, before you even know you need it, God is already working to provide it. The solution is already there. Through her tears, she could not see, but the well was there. And then God enables her to see things as they really were, and she and the boy are refreshed and revived. So God promises, and God protects, and God preserves his people in the desert. I would rather not go through the desert. Say amen. I would rather not deal with difficulties and hard times. I would rather back this year up to New Year's Eve and start over. Wouldn't you? I would rather not have COVID-19 a part of our world. Especially now that it looks like it's going to cancel college football. It's the last straw. It's the last straw. I would rather not go through hard times. I would rather not deal with separations. I would rather not have to go through difficulties. but God does allow us to go through them. There are many desert places that we have to go through in our lives, right? There are many losses that we have to endure in our lives. But He does promise to care for us, and He does provide what we need to preserve us. Say amen. I have no answers for Jack about his job. I don't know why he lost his job. Business is down. I understand the economics of that, all of that, but I don't know why God allowed that to happen so close to retirement. But I do know this. God has promised to care for him. And God has promised to provide exactly what he needs. Say amen. So God has told us, has he not, that we should not worry about what we will eat or drink or what we will wear, because we are his children. And God doesn't let his children go hungry or thirsty or naked. Say amen. He will provide the things that we need. We have to trust him. And we have to have confidence that God will provide. And of course, you understand that points towards spiritual realities. What do I need? I need a Savior. What do I need? I need an atonement. What do I need? I need a sacrifice. I need a substitute. I need someone to take my place, take my sins, take my death. I need someone to provide for me a righteousness that I cannot provide for myself. And God provides that for us. I need someone to save me because I can't save myself. And God says, I got that. I'll send my son. He'll save you. God provides. God promises. Notice thirdly, the presence of God in verse number 20. And God was with the lad. God was with the lad. God was present with the lad. And he grew. And he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you go back and look, Abraham fixed some bread and some water and put it on the shoulder of Hagar and then gave her Ishmael, and she put him on her hip. Small child. Small lad. But then we see that God is with Ishmael, and we see in this text that God is with him all the way through his taking a wife out of Egypt. So I'm guessing 18, 20 years. God was with Ishmael, and he grew, he developed, he dwelt in the wilderness, he obtained a skill as an archer, and he got a wife from Egypt. And God never left him. And God never forsook him. And God was with him. So the care and the provision of Ishmael was not just for that particular day in which he was about to die. It was for a lifetime. And God was with the lad, which means that God was pursuing Ishmael with favor. Why? Because he was the son of Abraham. That's what the text says. I will make a great nation out of him because he's your seed, Abraham. You have to understand something here. The continued existence, the growth, the development, the prosperity, the success of Ishmael flowed from this particular cause. There was blessings promised to him. There was provision given to him. There was the presence of God provided for him for the sake of his father Abraham. That was the promise that God gave Abraham when Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. Basically, what God tells Abraham is, listen, you listen to Sarah, you do what Sarah said, but you understand something. You understand something. Very clearly, you understand something. I promise you that I will provide for him, I will protect him, and I will be with him. Say amen. God was present as he matured. God made sure he had a dwelling. God made sure he developed a skill. God gave him a territory, and God gave him a wife. Or, I don't know if God gave him the wife, but God allowed Hagar to pick for him a wife. So during his life, God was present with him. In every good time and in every difficult time, God was with him. There was nothing that Ishmael had to do on his own or by himself. God was with him and was strengthening him in it all. And so why do I tell you tonight that given the difficult circumstances in which we have been through and are yet to go through, that you can fear not and have confidence in God? And I would say it this way. God has promised to provide and protect and to be with his people for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. It is the promise that God makes to his Son. We are in Christ. Say amen. And as his children in Christ, God has promised us great promises. God provides for us what we need when we need it, and God will be present with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us for one single second. And the promises to Abraham concerning Ishmael and Hagar are for Abraham's sake, and the promises to us are for Jesus' sake. So Hagar, fear not. Drive fear from your heart, drive fear from your mind, because God has made a promise. He has promised that he will care for you and your son. He has promised he will make a nation out of your son. He has promised that he will provide for you and your son. He has promised that he will be with you and your son. Hagar, fear not. Even when you can't see it, God will open your eyes to see it. Hagar, fear not. God is going to provide. And God is going to be with you in Ishmael. And he will not leave you. And he will make you successful. And God's people said, so don't be like Martin Luther. Don't cause people to put on black and wear a veil because maybe they haven't heard God's dead. God ain't dead. And the world shouldn't get the impression that he has. He's still alive and he's still promising, providing, and with his people. Say amen. So whatever you have to deal with, whatever you go through, God says, fear not. You have God's promises, you have God's provision, and you have God's presence. And all God's people said, amen.